This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Chet. Chet, how are you?
Well, John, another one's in the book.
Yes, another great season for the Jets.
Another banner season for the Jets.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Well, I predicted 4 wins at the beginning of the season, and I came right on the money. So I can't say I'm surprised they didn't win all the games I thought they would, but they pretty much performed as expected, I think, overall. This is kind of what we anticipated in the beginning of the season.
Right, no doubt. So what do they need to do this offseason?
Oh, boy. Well, they have to have a really solid draft. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah.
They're poised for 4 really good draft picks. I mean, they're in the sweet spot of the draft.
Right.
You know, drafting, I think, what, 4th and 5th in the – or, I mean, 4th and 10th in the first round.
Right.
4th and 5th or 4th and – or 5th and 6th or something in the second round. So, I mean, let's face it. Douglas has to hit on all 4 of those picks.
Yes.
And even if he doesn't come away with superstars or gold jacket players – he's got to get 4 starters, 4 guys that can play.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, it'll be interesting to see where the team retools. In particular, I'm interested to see how they're going to revamp that defense, because I'm curious to see what they think the problems were, where the holes were, or the problem players were in the defense. Because
yeah.
I really never got a full feel for what they were trying to do on defense. What the responsibilities of the players were, and if it was a communication breakdown, a talent breakdown, situational breakdown, or some combination thereof. So I'm interested to see, because they certainly got a lot of talent in that room to figure out, you know, and assess what went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious to see where they're going to try to, where the plugs are going to go and what they feel that they were lacking, because I just did not understand what they were trying to do this on defense this year at all.
So now, what's your thoughts here? I mean, we just watched 2 coaches go one and done, okay, and of the new coaches hired last year of the 7, and then we're watching guys, you know, go into after 2 years. If Salas struggles next year, could he be gone after the season?
No, I don't think so. Of course, it always depends on how the team performs.
Yeah, obviously.
I think next year they have to learn how to win.
Yeah.
And I think next year the goal is to get to around 500.
Mm-hmm.
I don't anticipate them making the playoffs next year. I'm not looking for that. But they've got to learn how to win. They've got to learn how to win consistently. And I'm hoping that they're going to go from, you know, from this year to become mediocre next year.
Right.
And then they make the big leap in 2023. I told you last week, the thing I liked about Salah is, it seems like they've got a culture that they are, in fact, developing. And the way I feel that is because the team didn't quit on them.
Right.
You know, and they had some, they had a real ugly stretch there in the middle of the season when the defense just couldn't stop, a ham sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And, but they kept playing. And the last 4 or 5 weeks, you know, this team was, marginally competitive. And probably could have won a couple of games that they kind of gave away. You know, they should have beat Miami twice, quite
mm-hmm.
frankly. They could have beaten, or should have beaten Tampa. You know, so those are things where they've got to learn how to win those games next year. I think the most important point was they were in the games. And they, you know, despite how depleted they were on offense and the numbers weren't good, they played Buffalo pretty tough last week.
Uh-huh.
When they really had nothing to play for, and Buffalo had everything to play for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think that's a positive sign for the coaching staff. And if they keep that up next year, I don't think this is going to be a playoff team next year. But
no way.
I think Salah is safe for at least 3 years.
Uh-huh.
He's Douglas's guy. And we all know that they're in a rebuilding mode. And I think Salah's safe. I don't think he's got the same problems that Judge had and some of these other guys had.
Well, certainly he's got a better personality than Judge. Oh, my God. I mean, Judge was a disaster.
Well, he's you know, he's kind of out of the Adam Gase school of a personality crisis. But what I'm curious is, and the one thing I'd love to hear your take on is, what happened in Miami? Was that just a play of a situation where the GM and the coach just couldn't get on the same page, and the owner just basically sided with the GM and not the coach?
No, it's more than that. I mean, Brian Flores couldn't get along with anybody. He struggled with his assistant coaches. He struggled with some players. Obviously, he struggled with Tua. And even though he's had two winning seasons, they just got sick of it.
Yeah, because something just didn't seem right there. Again, they have had so much draft capital and still have a lot of draft capital for another year or so.
But they give so much. They give so much talent away.
Yeah, and I just, that franchise should be in a better position than they are right now. And quite frankly, you know, they went on that seven game winning streak. Well, two of them were against the Jets in games they should have lost, and they basically were beating substandard teams. So, you know, that seven wins is misleading. They play New England well, but other than that, I was completely underwhelmed by what they brought to the table. And I just don't understand. There's a problem there, and I just don't understand what the problem was.
Yeah, the problem was, I mean, he struggled. We didn't find out about this until later, but he struggled, you know, getting along with the assistants, with Tua, some of the players, and all that stuff. But shouldn't we be surprised? I mean, not surprised, because, again, he's a Belichick coach. Belichick coaches are just like that. They can't get along with human beings.
Yeah, that seems to be a consistent problem. That's another problem that Judge had, and we see this time and time again. And it's just the arrogance that they bring to the situation, I just saw something on Netflix with Saban and Belichick just talking about coaching philosophies, their friendship, and everything else. And you know, while these guys, you know, certainly have, you know, egos, it's like they are willing to listen to everybody in the room and then make a decision.
Yeah.
And they are they're very good at spotting the talented people and telling them what they expect and then let that person do their thing to meet that expectation. Okay. Whereas I think where the subordinates refuse to see that is that they just don't tell what the expectations are. And they don't let the people work within those parameters because their ego won't let them do that. Mm-hmm. And it may be a little bit of insecurity, too. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But you see it time and – you're absolutely right. You see it time and again. And the problems seem to be the same with these guys. And, you know, I don't know. It doesn't really bother me because I love to see, you know, the Dolphins in crisis because they should be so much better than they are.
Uh-huh.
But – yeah, it just seemed that one seemed very weird to me.
Agreed. Yeah, but again, it's like for the Jets, it's like, you know, at least Salah gets along with people. But boy, he's got to coach the defense better.
Yeah. Again, I'm still not. I just don't understand what the problem was with that defense, and that's why I'm interested to see how they try to retool it, because there's clearly problems. And I don't know if it's a scheme or the players didn't fit the scheme or the players weren't listening to the scheme or what the problem was. And obviously, come on, let's also be honest. I mean, they're bereft of talent. And quite frankly, once Marcus May went down, it all kind of blew up.
Mm-hmm.
And, quite frankly, I think the real problem starts with just inadequate safety play.
Yeah.
Not just inability to tackle, but just not being where they're supposed to be and constantly getting caught up in the wash. And you just see these off-tackle plays where these guys are just getting picked off left and right. And then when they do try to tackle, they weren't tackling. I mean, Ashton Davis was just abysmal this year.
Terrible, yeah.
You know, the only thing he knows how to do is fall on the ground and swipe at ankles, if he's even close to the ball. So I think safety play was a huge problem for them, especially when Marcus May went down. So I think that's a situation where they've really got to fix that position, either in the draft or, you know, bring LaMarcus Joyner back or whatever. I can't imagine they're going to bring Marcus May back. But we'll see. It'll be interesting. But and I also don't know if the problem is at linebacker. I think, you know, I like Quincy Williams. You know, I don't know if he always knew where he was supposed to be, but man, this guy can cover side. I mean, he seems like a solid kind of linebacker. He can cover side to side, and he plays with his hair on fire. So they may have found something there. And of course, Mosley, he's had a great season.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're just going to look to find somebody to put him in the middle, or what they're going to do. Because you know, conversely, the guy that they got from Detroit was Davis, was just a bust.
Mm-hmm.
He was hurt. I don't know if he ever really got healthy, but he just never seemed to get it going in that system.
Right.
So maybe they just need. And then they've also got those two kids that they drafted as safeties last year, that they're trying to bulk up and make into linebackers. So I don't know if they're going to drop them back to safety or if they're going to continue to make them linebackers. But it's going to be interesting to see what they think the problems were by how they retool.
Yeah, exactly.
But I just don't understand what the problem was. I couldn't.
And they got to get better at running back.
I think they've got to get a little deeper. I like Michael Carter.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't think he can be a bell cow back. I just don't think he's big enough or durable enough. And I don't think you want to wear him out like that either.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see them try to come up with a situation like he had in North Carolina. You know, bring in another back, perhaps a little bit bigger back, and give yourself the combination. And then maybe bring back Devin Coleman. You know, you're not going to make him your bell cow, but if you can keep him healthy, he ran well in this system. I mean, he knows the system. And when he was out there, he played pretty well. But I think if you can bring in somebody else alongside Michael Carter, I think you're fine in the backfield. I think you got to add an offensive lineman, at center. And I'd like to see them bring back Moses, if nothing more, as insurance. But I think Fant played very well at left tackle.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I think that was just a good pickup, and he fit the system to a T. So I don't know if you want to move.
Think you'll ever get anything out of Becton?
I was just going to go there. I mean, I would say that was my biggest disappointment this year, because I really was anxious to see how he was going to grow, and I don't know if he's going to fit the system very well because he had trouble in preseason.
Right.
But I liked him his rookie year. I mean, I just like watching him play. Mm-hmm. This kid was, he's in the NFL, and he's throwing NFL players around. This kid's got a world of potential, but that was my biggest disappointment this year because I really wanted to see him improve.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked watching him play, and they really need to have him come back, but they've really got to sit on him in the offseason.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, again, there's a problem there. And I think they just got to get him on the yoga mat and get him an NFL body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stop eating too much.
Yeah, I think, I look at him, I think he's got more potential, but he reminds me of Damian Woody, just a huge man with weight issues.
Yeah.
You know, once Woody got the weight down, he was dominant. Of course, he played right tackle, but I think Becton could be the same thing. He's got to get his weight down, get more flexibility to become more durable. And that was my real disappointment this year.
Yeah.
I hope he can bounce back. But I really would like to see him pick up that Iowa center and just have a plug-and-play center for 10 years. You can move McGovern to right guard or re-sign DuVernay. I'd like to see him re-sign DuVernay because I thought he played well in that system, too.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the offensive line really improved once he plugged in. So I don't think that's too far off. They got to get themselves a legitimate a tight end.
Yeah,
I really like that Kenny Yeboah kid that they got as a free agent out of Mississippi State. I think the kid can catch. He can run and catch. But I don't think he's going to give you too much off the line of scrimmage. So they've got to find somebody that's a little bit more complete. But they really do need a legitimate tight end to help out Wilson. And the other disappointment is Mims.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what the heck happened there. But this kid's got a ton of potential. But, man, he is just a basket case at this point. And I don't know how it got to this point or what the problem is, but I really hope they didn't miss on him. But I got to believe at this point, they may be better off just moving him somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what the problem is, but man, this kid is just not putting it together at all. And they're not giving him much of a chance. I mean, my God, he's suited up. They've got three wide receivers, out, and he's not getting any reps whatsoever. Uh-huh. He's suited up and on the bench. They bring in practice players, and he's getting playing time ahead of this kid.
Yeah.
He is so far in the doghouse, I don't know what the problem is. It's too bad, but I'm disappointed because I think this kid's got a ton of potential.
No doubt. Hey, Jed, thank you for the phone call.
All right, take care, John. Enjoy playoff weekend.
Okay, sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Cameron. Hey, Cameron.
Hey, John. It's an honor to talk to you.
Well, thank you.
Obviously, we know Russell Wilson's going to be back next year.
Thank you.
You got me convinced on that, but I'm curious to see what you think about the potential of the Seahawks making any other big trades with current players on their roster, like they've been doing in the past.
They don't have guys that they could trade, unfortunately. It's like, you know, where are you going to get value from any of the guys currently on the team? I mean, you know, people are stupid when they keep on bringing up, you know, DK Metcalf trade and stuff like that. You know, why are you going to trade one of your most talented players? Doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, so that's not going to happen.
Yeah, what about any cap casualties currently on the roster?
They got $70 million of cap room. Why would there be cap casualties? 70, huh?
No, I said I understand. Yes.
Yeah, $70 million of cap casual. I mean, it's like there's no reason to make any moves as far as, you know, letting guys go to fit into the cap. I mean, they got plenty of room under the cap. They just got to try to re-sign some players, not lose players.
All right. Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think they should do?
I mean, I would love to. I don't think the Jamal Adams trade is given the return if everybody wanted it to. I'd love to not have that cap hit.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, what I want and what's actually reality happened are usually not the same thing.
Right. And, you know, what positions do you think they need to hit?
Interior defensive line and a center.
Mm-hmm. Okay, depending on Dwayne Brown, they definitely need some tackle help.
Yeah, I mean you can't go wrong with dominating the line of scrimmage. You know,
right.
Most teams that do that seem to fare pretty well.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
That's where I want to see the focus, and if that means, you know, starting Ryan Neal at strong safety, I'd be happy to do that. But you know, getting out of this Adams deal doesn't seem like it's very likely or very possible.
Hey, Cameron, thank you for the phone call.
Yeah, have a good day.
All right, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Cliff in Gig Harbor. Hey, Cliff.
Good morning, Mr. Clayton.
Good morning, Cliff.
You know, I've been listening all week, last couple of weeks, about the mess that is the Seahawks over one losing season in almost 9 years, right?
Right.
And it's like, do folks realize how hard it is to win a Super Bowl, how hard it is to maintain consistency in the National Football League based on the cap system that is there?
Right.
You're going to lose players. I've heard fire Pete, trade Russell, trade DK. I'm like, where are these folks coming from? I do believe that there is a core element to this team that can be successful for a very long time.
Uh-huh.
It's where the Seahawks have been having problems is finding those talents. And it's hard to find talent in the free, either through free agency as well as in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And every team has issues in the draft, and Seattle has just hit theirs. I don't believe we're as bad as we as people think we are.
Agreed.
And I don't think it is time to blow it up. I think you do need to make tweaks. You need to address the offensive line. You need to address a running back in the draft. You do need to address the safety and then look for a stud D lineman. It sounds like a lot, but in reality, I don't believe it is given the current cap situation of the Seahawks.
What do you do with
Russell? Am I wrong?
No, I think you're 100% right. I'm in total agreement with you on all this. And I've been saying it now for the longest time, but you have so many negative fans around right now, they just don't listen.
I think what it is, look where Kansas City was for a long time. Look at San Francisco. When was the last time they won a Super Bowl?
A couple years ago.
Go back to LA winning or division.
And the thing is, I mean, it's hard to win a Super Bowl. Just simple as that. I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. I mean, he's been there since 2005, and they've won one Super Bowl with him. One.
Yeah, and that's what we're looking at. It is very difficult to do, given the caps. Teams are turnover. Once you win, your roster is going to turn over, and you got to figure out your core. And then it's trying to find those pieces.
Right.
And look at the success. The most successful teams have continuity for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. They're not turning over their coaching staff. Again, they make tweaks, whether the defensive coordinator stay or go. I do believe they need to evaluate that. But you can't give a grade on Jalen Waldron in 1 year because, again, you had another hodgepodge at the offensive line. Did he really get his system in place? Did everybody buy on? You got to get at least another year to see, can he perform? Is he a good player?
Agreed. No, I agree with all that. I mean, it's like, it just drives everybody crazy, you know, listening to, oh, fire him, let's do this. Come on. Just build talent. Yeah. Don't give away talent. Don't give away coaches. Don't give away, you know, the core of your franchise.
And I do believe the Jamal Adams trade was a disaster for the organization, but I think it's short-lived because we'll get out from under those trade picks. The salary, again, that we'll see what impact that has on the long term because the finances of the NFL is changing. And what does Jamal Adams become? Because he's still a young player.
Right.
Was it 24, 25 years old?
25, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so he's still a really, really young player that's grown into himself. And the team hasn't figured out the best use for him or how to develop the other skill set they want.
Right. But again, it's like, he's been a three-time Pro Bowler. He set the record for sacks by a defensive back. And so there's definitely something there. It's just a matter of keeping him healthy and then, getting everything around him better.
Yep. Well, hey. Mr. Clayton, I won't take up more of your time. Thank you. You have a great day.
Okay, Cliff. Thank you so much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Shannon Dreher joining us at 10:30. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. And our next caller has a success story. You know, it's Rick in Seattle. And Rick, you won your survivor pool.
I won the pool. Well, I took a share of it, but I consider that a win. But there was 20 of us going in. To the last weekend, we all had to pick two teams. I had Tampa Bay and Buffalo, and you gave me the blessing on Buffalo and Tampa Bay. You were a little trepidation because they did have injuries, and I knew that going in, but they did have something to play for. So 13 of us out of the 20 had 2-0. So we all got a share of some survivor pie, and I just wanted to say thank you for giving some blessings on some of my picks. And I think the one that helped me stay in the pool was, I think it was Baltimore was playing Cleveland, and I think the Giants were playing Philly, and I was leaning Philly. I liked Baltimore, and you said, I don't know, I think Baltimore's the team. And you know, I kind of looked a little more after the phone call and said, okay, let's go. If JC can give me the seal of approval, I'll go for it. And they won, so that was great. And the other big game was back all the way in week 2.
Wow.
If you can tell me who Greg Joseph is, I'll give you $1. And he is actually kicker for Minnesota.
Right.
They were playing at Arizona. Feverish comeback, last drive, Cousins looking like, you know, he was actually earning his money that day. Drove him all the way down, 4 seconds left. This Greg Joseph guy's lining up for a 42-yarder game winner. Boom, pushes it about 2 feet right. So, I mean, you know, there's luck, obviously.
Yes,
there's
no
luck
doubt
in this thing. But it was fun. I enjoy it. And I got your favorite charity from your producer. So I'm going to throw some money that way in your name. And just I'm glad you were on the phone with me on that Philly Philly Baltimore day.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad that you know, some of the recommendations and that did work out. Yeah, because I'm not a bettor or anything like that, but I do spend a lot of time evaluating teams and trying to figure out what week to week things can happen. And I'm just glad it worked out for you.
And I appreciate it very much. And I'll be around next year, but I won't hit you up week one. I'll wait until I'm actually
down
the road. And one quick thing, John.
Yeah.
Just on the whole Bezos buying the team and all that stuff. The winner out of all of that will be, actually, I should say winners, will be every other owner in the NFL, because if you get in to a bidding war, that's all these other guys are bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Uh-huh.
And Bezos has a bazooka.
No doubt.
So, I mean, every other franchise will go up by $500 million. Who knows? Maybe $1 billion when it's all done.
Cause I know, because, again,
he's got more money.
Yeah, because, I mean, right now Forbes has him at $3.75 billion, but you know he'll pay more than that to get the franchise.
Oh.
And he's not going to be outbid by Peyton Manning and John Elway.
I guess I tie it into what Ballmer did with the Clippers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he went past everybody, but every other owner loved it. So bring him on board.
Well, then
anyway,
on top of it,
have a great weekend.
Yeah, and by the way, it's like on top of that, I mean, you know, he still has involvement with Amazon, and so it's like, you know, they've got the Thursday night games, and there's a chance that they'll get Sunday ticket in 2023. So it's like, he's already making the NFL money, and now, I mean, he'll make every owner richer.
Oh, of course. And just the thing you touched on, Sunday ticket and the Thursday night, does that become kind of a conflict of interest? I don't know how it works with owners and things like that.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, because, I mean, technically, anyway. I mean, even though he has involvement with Amazon, I mean, he's not, you know, running Amazon now. He stepped aside.
True.
And part of that may be from the idea that it's like, hey, at some point here, I'm going to get an NFL team.
True. Yeah, well, I'm sure they like what he's done so far.
No doubt.
He's already got the relationship. It'd be nice to have Peyton on his team to help seal the deal, but I don't think he needs it.
No.
Anyway, thanks again, John. I appreciate it. I'll be back next year.
Okay, Rick, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Bob in Bellevue. Hey, Bob.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I hope everything's good. I'm doing fine. So I just wanted to make a comment that since we got Pete Carroll and we're going to keep with him, he had the meeting with Jody, and I'm thankful that we're not trading Russell Wilson.
Right.
I want people to stop saying that, you know, because I've just been reading a lot of articles, and Dave Wyman has a good one on your 710 website, because he was talking about some of the core draft picks that we've got last year that we saw play, Swain, Alton Robinson, and those guys. You know, they're not like superstars, but they're good fill-in players. Would you agree with that?
I would agree, yeah.
Okay.
And then, of course, Jordan Brooks has been fantastic.
Yes.
I mean,
that guy's a stud.
Uh-huh.
That's going to be exciting to see. But my question to you is, do you think if the Seahawks really just concentrate on getting an offensive line, because our defensive line right now on paper seems really good, and
you
saw the last five games, it was like, wow, what was this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm a true believer in Jamal Adams. I personally think he's going to be the next Bobby Wagner, you know, the leader that steps up when Bobby Wagner, you know, retires. But do you think if we really concentrate on getting us an offensive line and keep Rashard Penny on an incentive deal,
right,
$6 million a year?
No, I don't. You don't have to go to $6 million.
Really?
Well, yeah.
You know, because I'm just afraid that some dumb GM out there is going to
Think about this. 2 years ago, the highest unrestricted free agent running back was Melvin Gordon. He got $8 million.
Yeah.
Okay, he's up now after 2 years. Because he went 16 for two, and his value right now is in the fives. Okay, I went through every other running back who's a free agent, and the most they're able to get is a five, in the fives or at the most six. That's it. And so now,
wow,
with Penny, at the very most, it's like 5.2, 5.3. Like, for example, you look down at Arizona, they got James Conner. I mean, he's worth, according to, different sources, 5.9. And then you've got, Edmonds, who's worth about 5.2. So you can get Penny for less than $6 million, which, I mean, it's actually going to be pretty close to the Chris Carson deal, because Chris Carson got 5.2.
Okay. And that would work out perfect then.
Yeah, and then, for example, this past year, the highest paid unrestricted free agent was Kenyon Drake, and he got 5.5, and they signed him not even to be a starter.
Huh. So, okay, this falls back then. I think, really, truthfully, and I don't know if you would agree with this, if we really just concentrated on his offensive line, the left guard, Dwayne, he said he would be willing to work with one-year deals, correct? Dwayne Brown. That's what he said
Agreed, yeah.
Okay, so we keep him and then get a right tackle, to help him out. Because, and it's just like, man, this Seahawks team really could be good next year.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying, maybe win the entire division and go for a Super Bowl, because I looked at the last five games and I'm seeing an intensity that I have not seen since the playoff runs when we went to the playoffs and won it all.
Right.
So that intensity is what Pete Carroll brings to the locker room. And I think that if we traded Russell Wilson and fired Pete Carroll, we would have been like 1988 Seahawks.
Yeah, you're a 4-5 win team.
Yep.
And again, it's like all you have to do is look at the what's going on in the coaching world. So where are you going to get your head coaches? Because 15 have been fired in the last 2 years. 15. There's only 17 that still have their jobs.
Yeah. And do you think this is a make or break year for the Rams? If they don't do it, there's going to be big
they may have one more year. One more year.
And one more year.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you for your call, John. Or thanks for taking my call, John.
Okay, Bob. Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Rick in Twin Lakes. Hey, Rick.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I survived the holidays.
Yeah, we all did.
Yeah, I got out of Leavenworth right before that snowstorm hit.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so that's all good. I wanted to get to the Seahawks. We're talking about our starting running back that we have now, Rashard Penny.
Right.
And I made a statement earlier, he didn't seem like he wanted it. And it was true at that time. And he got a little counseling from a senior running back.
Uh-huh.
And
Adrian Peterson. Yeah.
Adrian Peterson, and it seemed to help him quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
But the thing that still lingers is almost like he's suffering PTSD. Every time he takes a shot to his knee, he's like he flashes back to when he got injured.
Mm-hmm.
Like he'll grab his knee and he'll run off to the sidelines and he'll kind of calm himself down and get back on. I just wonder if he's really ailing or if it's just it seems to be all in his head.
Yeah, I think he's just trying to go through the tough injuries he's had on the knee and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. I mean, look what he did in the second half of the season.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He did. But, yeah, he needs to gain confidence from what he actually has accomplished.
And he did.
The pass is the pass, and he needs to hang in there. But, he seems to be developing.
What would you pay him to stay?
Oh, that's – That's out of my wheelhouse, man. I don't know. I'd give them what they have. You know what? Don't make me the banker. I'd give everybody some money.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, I'm sick of hearing the talk about the trade.
Me too.
He's our guy. We'll stick with him. That's our horse. We're going to ride him till he can't ride no more. Wilson, Penny, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. Tyler Lockett's a solid pro. DK Metcalf, he has room for improvement.
Right.
The thing that he needs to improve on is his hands. Now, I don't know if you noticed it. It looks like sometimes he catches the ball like he's got flippers instead of fingers. He doesn't set his hand. Remember Steve Largent, how when the ball came in, his hands were set. He's ready to snatch that sucker right out of the air. Now, not so with DK. He kind of seems like they're just, like I said, like a seal with flippers. And he needs to develop that. He needs to get on the jugs gun and get that going. Everett.
Yeah.
He needs more reps. He needs to catch more balls. But that way, when he does get a ball, he won't freak out and drop it like he did in the previous game.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, I mean, that's the thing is that when you have 55 plays a game or whatever the number is, and you're not on the field, I mean, you don't have enough passes to go around it for everybody. And so it's like, you know, let's be realistic as far as looking at the numbers.
Right.
If you have 55 plays a game and you run the ball, say, 27 times, then you only have like 28 pass plays, and that doesn't include sacks or pressures and things of that nature. So
that's
it's like
the problem we had most of the year until recently when they started running the ball.
Running the ball, right.
People who want Russell to cook. Okay, well, he's great at the end of the game, but he is not an Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Come on, and he'll never be an Aaron Rodgers.
No.
He's a game manager, and which is nothing wrong with that. Who was one of the greatest game managers of all time?
Joe Montana.
And there's another one that played for the Green Bay Packers a long time ago. Bart Starr. He was a game manager. They ran the ball. But when it came time, when they needed him in the pass, he could pass the ball.
Right.
But there's nothing wrong with being – he needs to get over that. He's not going to be that guy. The other thing is the offensive line.
Yeah.
Now, we went out and got Jackson. He kind of reminded me of a potty. He's a really big guy but not very mobile. Seahawks need to find out the type of player they need at guard.
They're okay at guard.
Well, I'm just saying, not really. Gabe Jackson, when he went out, the running game took off.
Yeah, Gabe Jackson.
That kid, Phil Haynes, who never really got a shot because they was always putting Jamarco Jones in.
Yeah.
Who's a technician, but he's not very powerful. He doesn't have the physical attributes that Phil Haynes has.
Mm-hmm.
They need to put the right players in. I like Jake. I like Damian. Dwayne Brown, he's a good pro.
Yeah.
They're going to need to develop his backup, play Stone Forsythe in the preseason. Give him a chance. And speaking of chances, we need to play our younger guys on defense. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Who aren't they playing who are younger guys?
Well, let's see.
Who?
I'm looking at it right here. Darryl Taylor, Alton Robinson.
They play him.
Okay, I'm just saying, you need to play those guys. What we don't need is a Benson Mayoa. Okay, what we don't need is a Kerry Hyder. I mean, between those guys, how many sacks did they get? Maybe four?
Mm-hmm.
Between them, they got maybe four sacks. Play in your younger guys. You can do bad. You don't want to do bad with the pros who's sucking up all the money. Play your younger guys. You know, like I said, you want to put your draft picks on defense. Play the younger guys on defense. You want to put your free agents on offense.
Uh-huh.
And they went out and bought it. But I tell you what I do like. I like Sidney Jones. I like DJ Reed.
Mm-hmm.
I like the rookie Trey Brown. And surprisingly, there's another guy that the last couple of games, Michael Jackson Sr.
Uh-huh.
That guy looked good. He's 6'1", and he's well above 200 pounds. And he plays like the cornerback of the Seahawks used to play. They need to re-sign that guy.
Agreed.
Yeah, the Seahawks, they're not that far away. They need to draft a little smarter, and they need to play their younger guys. They need to get rid of some of that dead wood. I like Rasheem Green. I like Puna and Brian Monet. I love that guy.
Yeah.
And the veteran Al Woods. Those guys are solid pros. But get rid of the dead wood, the guys that aren't producing, man.
Okay.
Are they just sucking up too much money? They got to go.
Rick, thank you for the phone call.
All right.
Let's go to Merritt in Walla Walla. Hey, Merritt.
Hey, John. I just wanted to get your take in regards to Shane Waldron. I mean, 1 year isn't too big of a sample size, but yeah. I just wanted to get your take on him.
I think he's fine. I mean, he brings over a good offensive scheme. He brings over something that works well with Russell Wilson in a sense that he can get more tempo. He can get rid of the ball quicker. I mean, so, you know, you can see, you know, when they're healthy and they have running backs and stuff like that, that it should be able to work. And the second year will be better. He's a good teacher. He gets along with the players, all those different things. I think he's fine.
What do you think the relationship between him and Pete are? Because, you know, Pete, big run guy, and Shane, you know, kind of a little bit of both, more of a balanced attack. I mean, what do you think that is there?
I think it's fine. I mean, because, again, it's like, you know, when you have Rashad Penny hurt and you're down to just Alex Collins and, you know, a couple young running backs, I mean, that takes away the chance to run the ball. But then when Penny started coming on, you saw the improvement. I mean, certainly Collins did a good job this past year. So, but no, I think that, you know, I think the relationship is fine. And Pete says it's fine.
Right. Yeah, and with, you know, you mentioned Penny when he started to heat up, and that was when, you know, Lockett and Metcalf were able to get going too, and there was a stint there where they were struggling, but it was because, you know, you didn't have a running back in there that was producing.
Right.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what Shane brings to the table next year when everybody's kind of healthy and whatnot, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, they just got to get more plays. Simple as that.
Right.
That's what their big mission is right now, getting more plays. And they can do that. It'll be easier on the defense and much better for the offense.
Do you think they're going to try and plug in Colby Parkinson a little bit more next year? I mean,
it depends on what happens with Will Disley. Yeah, because Disley's a free agent. And if they don't bring him back, then they have Parkinson still there. So that's to be determined.
Right. Okay. Well, I appreciate it, John. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.